Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
Lord knows what he's doing, doesn't he? I just praise him. It's an interesting week. The Lord is faithful in so many ways, in every way, really. We just need to learn all about that. It's interesting. Some weeks I will have a thought that just almost comes on Monday and just kind of evolves over the week. And then this week it was like a Saturday evening. I have no idea. And, we need to learn how to rest in the Lord, whether things are the way we expect them or not. And so I began to have some thoughts, and I will just go ahead and share them with you. But as usual, this is a word that I need. And I don't suspect that I'm alone, because I know how life works. I know enough about the Christian life to know that we need something fresh, exactly what Brother Joel was sharing. But let me preface it this way. Last week we talked about those who overcome, and the ones who overcome are those who have been born of His Spirit, because we're going to have Him living on the inside if we have what it takes to stand against the world and against our own nature. And so we speak about, a new life, a new creation, a new nature, a new spirit, a new heart. And I felt like there was something else that was needed in that. And that's a new attitude. And everybody says, uh-oh. Because a lot of times we are exactly, as Brother Joel was talking about, we are so attuned to what we want here, to how life works, to how our brains have been trained to think, our emotions, our personalities, they're all individual. What experiences have we had in our lives, and how have they affected us? And, what do we want? I think I said that. But anyway, it goes on and on and on. But we are very much in tune with this world. And this is what God is delivering us from. And we know all the truths, at least with our heads, about how we need to die to self and live to Him. And it's no longer I, but it's Christ who lives in me. And, He's putting me to death so I can have a brand new life. Until it starts to happen. And then we struggle. And I just feel like the Lord wanted to encourage me, but wants to encourage everyone here, not with anything new in the way of truth, but we just need to hear a fresh word of encouragement, just like Joel was talking about. Now, what the Lord told him wasn't anything new, was it? But it was what he needed at the time. And I feel like this is one that we all need right now. And for some reason, the Lord wants to emphasize it. And so I'm going to just use very familiar scriptures, and we'll see how far this goes and where it goes. But anyway, I was thinking about the book of James. There's a scripture that we're very familiar with. And James is an interesting character. He was the half-brother of Jesus. And he knew Jesus all his life. But how many of you know that James, during Jesus' life, right through the cross, up until the resurrection, didn't believe in Jesus? He didn't believe Him at all. Didn't have any idea, just thought this was nuts, all the stuff he was doing. Well, I don't know what he thought specifically, but he didn't believe in Him anyway. And the scripture reveals that it was after the resurrection that Jesus revealed Himself to James. So there was something very supernatural, and I'll tell you, it turned James's life upside down, and he became ultimately the leader of the Jerusalem church. And so he was a man who went through a lot too, because the Jews, as they came really to the end of the Jewish era and the great destruction that came, persecution got worse and worse. The believers were struggling there. You remember how Paul took up a collection for the poor saints at Jerusalem to try to help them? And, life was getting tough. And how many of you remember how James ended his life? It's not in the Bible, by the way. It's in other literature of the time. The Jews figured, hey, we got to do something about this. Let's get James up, and we're going to put him on a high spot in the temple, and we're going to have him renounce Christ publicly. And so they got him up there, and instead of renouncing Christ, he stood up strong. And so what they did was throw him down into the courtyard, and of course that messed him up to say the least. And then they got around him with clubs and beat him to death. That's what it costs a lot of believers to serve the Lord. And so he knew something about the fact that living in this world is not a picnic. That God has called us out of this world for the purpose of getting us ready for another one. And that is the life that will, that's what he wants to do, is to make us like him. We're not like him. And as I say, we are so attuned to this world and what we expect from it, what we want from it, that we struggle. And, you know, what's a God to do? He's going to have to, he's got a job on his hands to change me into something, somebody that's more in tune with him than in tune with me and what I want and how I feel about it. That's one of the keys right there, because you can go along and do the right things and just be resentful and depressed, and it's all, I don't like this, and it's wrong. I know I'm supposed to put up with it, and thanks, Lord. You know what I'm talking about. You've all done it. And maybe some of you are doing it right now. It's a struggle to really just be a wholehearted agreement with the Lord. And it's not enough just to surrender to the fact of what God wants to do in our lives, but I mean, how do we feel about it? See, there's a victory that God wants to achieve in us. And so anyway, James is writing, and right off the bat, he says something that sounds totally nuts. Verse 2, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Seriously? You know, it's one thing to say, okay, Lord, I get what you're doing. Go ahead, do it. I don't really like it. But no, this is pure joy that God is looking for. That he wants us not just to tolerate what he's doing, but to be totally on board that our emotions, and I'm not talking about just working up an emotion here, but I'm talking about a choice as to how we see what happens in our lives. We say, Lord, take me to higher ground, until he starts to do it, and we realize we're having to walk uphill, and we're facing a devil that doesn't want us to go uphill. And the Lord begins to do things that attack and change and challenge the different things that are really in control of our earthly lives. And boy, we don't like it, and we think, oh God, there's got to be another way. I'm going to go to the front, and I'm going to get an experience. They're going to bypass all of that. Let's just jump right over into Canaan land. And folks, I think we know enough. If you've served the Lord any length of time, it doesn't work that way, does it? We would like it to work that way. But anyway, so what a command that God gives us through his servant James. Consider it pure joy. This is how we need to see it. And so what God was calling upon Brother Joel to do this past week was to say, thank you, Lord. Praise God. This is awesome. And I'm sure that's not the emotion he was feeling. But I could say that about every one of us here as to wherever we're at with the Lord, because that was, I mean, that's an issue with me. It's an issue with everybody. We can go along and know what the Lord wants, but how do we feel about it? And we can really be in a lot of bondage. Do you think the Lord really wants his children to go around self-pitying, resentful, okay, but, you know, and all of it, you just yield to human emotions, because what are they attached to? They're attached to what I want. And here is God saying, I see this in you. This has got control of it. You've learned how to live, how to think this way. I've got to do something. And the only way I can do it is to stand back, let the devil challenge you on that point and bring some kind of difficulty, so you're going to have to look to me and turn to me. What else has he got to work with? How many of you have ever had a real need in your life and all God had to do is come along and explain it to you? Kind of doesn't work that way, does it? We need him to really challenge whatever's in control of our lives and the way we think and the way we operate. And it's going to have to be adverse. It's going to have to be headwinds. It's going to have to be, I mean, he says, whenever you face trials of many kinds, obviously, no matter what your human nature is made of, whatever you're like, God's going to allow that to be challenged. And whenever it is, you and I have a choice to make, don't we? It's not only what we do, but how we feel about it when we do it. Because God is not wanting people to serve him with a resentful, okay, I'll do it, but kind of an attitude. Consider it pure joy. My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, now there's going to be a reason for that. Why would the Lord tell us something so totally ridiculous, at least as by human standards, unless it was a mighty good reason? Because you know, now there's something we're supposed to know here. I mean really know it in our hearts, not just know it in our heads. But God wants this to become such a deep-rooted knowledge that it enables what he's talking about, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Now, again, we're talking about things we've talked about so many times. There's nothing new here. But what is it? I mean, think about what God's calling me to do. I'm facing a difficulty that's challenging my nature in ways I would prefer he'd leave alone if I was just going by my feelings. But now he's challenging me. He knows that, and part of what I need to be doing is to have the strength to put one foot in front of another and keep going anyway. Start ignoring the headwinds and say, well, Lord, I know what you want. I'm going to do it by your grace. I'm going to keep putting one foot in front of another. But if I don't ever get tested, where do I get the strength and the character to do that? It never becomes part of my nature if I'm not tested. If God does not allow the devil to challenge me in an area of need, I will never overcome that. Now, I'll bet you everybody here, based on human feelings, would just assume the Lord would leave you alone and take you to heaven anyway. And by your chuckles, I sense that you agree with me. But I am so thankful. When you stand back and think, what in the world? We are so self-centered. We are so self-absorbed. It's all about me. Everything about my natural makeup is all about me and what I want and how I feel and how things are going. And here the Lord is going to have to put his finger on one after another of these things that have ruled over me. And I'm going to have to make a choice in every instance as to what I'm going to do about it. Am I going to agree with God? And am I going to look back to the cross? We've talked about these things many times. Am I going to look back and realize he's already taken care of my need? I just have to start agreeing with him, and I can experience the power that makes it possible for me to agree with him. But you see where James is taking it a step further? It's not just what I do, but it is my choice to do this. Is to consider it pure joy. Lord, this is awesome. Thank you so much. Lord, I rejoice in what you're doing. I rejoice in this because I know where it's headed. I know what I understand what you're doing, and I agree with it.
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685 Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.